You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to NSPS Radio Hour. Today, we're pleased today to have with us a couple of young gentlemen who are working in the oil and gas business and perhaps other things. But since that is a topic that is of interest, I think, to everyone, regardless of where we reside in this day and time, I thought it would be interesting to have you all on the show. So I want to welcome Charles Largelier and Sean Speciale with me this morning.
Good morning, Kurt. It's good to be with you.
I'm sorry I missed you at the West Virginia meeting, by the way. Charles, it seemed like sort of a whirlwind tour over there when that was going on, particularly with all that was happening with the weather.
Yeah, it was pretty hectic.
I just barely escaped there. I actually decided to leave a day earlier than I intended to, and the next day I was glad I did when all the snow hit. That's for sure. But anyway, I appreciate you to getting in touch with me about being on the show today and talking about what your company is doing. Now, I'm going to pronounce the name of the company as PVE Scheffler. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And you're located in Pennsylvania. Where is the town exactly in Pennsylvania?
It's just north of Pittsburgh. And
okay.
So basically, we survey we service the Pittsburgh area, but we have offices in West Virginia, New York, and Pennsylvania, and we also do work in Ohio.
Okay. And the company has been around for how long?
Well, the company was founded in 1970 as Scheffler & Company by Gary Scheffler Sr., and he's still with the company today. And so we have a wealth of surveying experience, and he still works with us, and he still reviews all the drawings. And so basically, we're about 75 employees at the moment, and the company was started in 1970 as a surveying company, but it has grown since then, and in 2008, it merged with a civil engineering company, Partridge Venture Engineering, so that's why today we're known as PVE Scheffler.
Okay, I understand. So, like a lot of our firms over time, we find reasons and benefits in combining with other professions. Having been on both sides of that equation during my career, I'm not sure which I enjoyed most, whether it was in a company that was multidisciplinary or during the times when I was surveying on my own. I can't say I enjoyed one any more than the other, really, because each has its own set of benefits, that's for sure. And I'm sure your company's found the same. So now as a civil firm as well as surveying, and I know we're going to talk about the oil and gas business primarily today, but I assume you do things outside of that, land development kind of things and that
yeah.
type of issue.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We do civil engineering, obviously the surveying, the title mapping, but also structural design, environmental engineering, traffic, transportation engineering, and municipal services. So it's kind of a wide range of things we do here, but oil and gas is one of the things we specialize in.
Yeah, I think all of us are in the business, whether we're surveyors only or if we're tied to engineering or architecture or whatever other business, diversifying our client base is always something that's important to us. Of particular interest, though, and for the purpose of the show, I know we want to talk about oil and gas title mapping and what it's all about. So maybe we could start with just a general overview of what we're talking about.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a kind of general overview. Basically, the oil and gas companies, and we work with several of the ones in the area, Console, Noble Energy, Chevron, Cabot. But they'll decide that they want to drill in a certain location, and they'll put together what they call as a well unit. Basically, that's the area that the well will cover. And every boundary within that unit, we basically have to resolve the boundary or kind of, figure out where the boundaries are so the landowners can get their royalties based on the title rights. So So every piece of land has certain title rights associated with it. There's oil rights, the gas rights, the coal rights, and basically over time these rights have been sold. They've been passed down to heirs, and sometimes there's dozens of parties that hold rights to a particular boundary or title area, and we're given the job of retracing these rights and the boundaries associated with them, so the interest holders can receive the royalties.
And some, I may have even meant this on a previous show, I don't know, or maybe it was during our conversations, but I've had a little bit of experience with that, not anything extensive, of course, back in the day when I was back in Blacksburg, Virginia, but sometimes deciding or determining where those title rights for the resource, whatever it may be, not the surface boundaries necessarily, can be pretty complex. And I'm assuming that from what you're saying, figuring out how all those things work is what you guys do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some areas of the country are better than others. I primarily work in West Virginia, the northern part of West Virginia. And I don't know if you've seen deeds from that area, but just the gaps and the overlaps. And it's just like, you know, you have to use your priority calls. And, you know, it's... I've recently been doing some stuff in Pennsylvania, and when the deeds close to within, you know, a tenth or a couple hundredths, it's just shocking to me because I'm used to deeds that have gaps of 100 feet or, you know, that they have a bad bearing or bad distance. So it's it can be pretty complex trying to figure out where all the boundaries are, especially when a lot of the evidence has disappeared over the years.
Another problem that we find from a title standpoint is, you know, when the land is conveyed through the family over the years, you don't really get a description. There may never have been a survey for the area, and so we have to, you know, look at a whole chain of title, maybe 200 years old, to actually find a description of the land.
Yeah, that makes sense. When it's, like you said, when it's just passed down, then the owners see no benefit in having any kind of survey done or description written or any of those kind of things. So I can certainly see where that would be an issue. And then, of course, when you're trying to put all those together, I guess that creates its own set of issues from owner to owner, not only within the constraints of one property, but as you're putting more and more pieces together, because if I understood you correctly, the well units can encompass more than one owner.
Go ahead, Troy.
Well, the well units, they typically, I mean, I know in West Virginia the tracts are, they can be, you know, anywhere from a few acres, and sometimes they're out to a couple hundred acres. But I'd say typical well unit, I would say it could be a couple hundred acres to, you know, maybe 1,000 acres even. And, you know, everything that touches that well unit, we have to figure out the boundaries on. And, you know, one thing that I've worked with, you know, I've worked in smaller companies and a couple of medium-sized companies. And the advantage of doing it this way over, say, just like what a typical surveyor does, and they go out and they survey one lot and they might survey an adjoiner and, you know, basically the adjoining pieces, we get kind of an overall view of the area, which it helps out immensely as far as figuring out where all the boundaries are, especially when you have bad deeds.
So if I understood you correctly before, you were talking about rights to a variety of things, oil, gas, whatever the case may be. So do you find that there are oftentimes overlapping interests from one resource to the other in terms of ownership?
That's right. That's mainly the reason why we with our maps, we make multiple layers. That way, you know, you can tell the difference between the mineral rights, the surface rights, and the actual lease boundary.
And, yeah, absolutely. There are some people, they will hold the oil and gas and the coal. Sometimes they'll own the surface and the oil and gas, and absolutely there is overlaps. And from a surveying standpoint, it does help kind of retrace the lines because, you know, the parcel may have started out as, say, 100 acres, and then it was split up, and you may have some common lines between the coal, the oil and gas, and the surface, but all the lines may not be common. So, you know, the coal will help you figure out where the oil and gas is, and the surface might figure out help you figure out where the coal is and so on.
I see. You know, as we were starting today, I'm still in some type of can't be jet lagged because it was near our office, but our meetings were last week for NSPS, and I'm still in kind of shock over that. I failed to even have you guys give a little background on how you got to where you are. I know, for example, Charles, that you went to school at Penn State. Was that at Wilkes-Barre?
Yeah, Penn State Wilkes-Barre. I actually started surveying in 2006 after I got out of the Army, and I worked for a couple small companies, and then I went and got my associate's degree at a county college in South Jersey, and then I moved on to Penn State Wilkes-Barre and got my bachelor's degree there, and since then I've been out in the Pittsburgh area for about 3 years now.
And Sean?
I'm a Pennsylvania licensed attorney. I've been working in the oil and gas field for about 2 years now. Before that, I had a little bit of experience in construction. I worked as a laborer through law school and undergrad, so I had a little bit of experience, with parking lot layout and different elevations, pouring concrete. So I had a little bit of a background, but really got into it after I was done with law school.
When we're within a minute or maybe just over a minute being finished with our first segment. So when we come back, I want to talk about benefits of having areas mapped, maybe beyond what you guys are talking about. But I'm also interested from the research perspective when you get into doing all of this title work. I think surveyors in general understand title issues to some degree. As we deal with them or we deal with what's reported to us, we're not title searchers, obviously. But I'm curious, as you're going through that work, and it sounds like from what I'm hearing, you guys sort of have a team here, whereas in many instances, if I'm the surveyor, then I'm dealing with an attorney who's either orchestrating the title work or has done the title work or whatever, and I could certainly see some advantages of having people in the same place just based on experiences from doing those kind of things. So when we come back, maybe you can talk to us a little bit about that and how that synergy works within the company as well as other activities or other people that can benefit from having this kind of mapping. So let's go to our first break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to schonstedt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's quickstake.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Schonstedt, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com and Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second segment. Today we were in the first segment talking about the mapping of oil and gas title. We mentioned something called a well unit, and Charles and Sean have been talking to us about the whole process. And as we were going to break, we started talking a little bit about the title side. And so, Sean, maybe you can help us with that in terms of exactly what's the process for the research for this particular activity and how it's pulled together.
You know, with the different energy companies, it's handled different ways. Some of them want us to do the surface research up front, which means we would abstract our own deeds and begin with the surface unit. Others, it's title by title on a parcel basis. But I'll just take you through the whole process. Usually the company will give us a unit boundary, and then it will be up to us to determine how we're going to get the deeds, whether it's online or actually visiting the courthouse. And we'll compile and put a composite together, do a boundary survey of each individual parcel, try to get all the exceptions, the reservations, locate any surface outsales. Then after we complete the surface, we'll get title from an outside title company, usually a law firm. They'll provide us with all the title defects, the chain of title. We'll run through the title, make sure all the different mineral owners are allotted their acreages. Then, you know, a main thing that we do here is solve any title issues according to a boundary. So if there's an outsale that may be a problem with the title, then we'll locate that. We'll make sure that that's brought to the attention of the land department. And then working with the surveyors between the title analyst, it just makes a good relationship with the company.
So did I understand you to say that you actually perform boundary surveys on each individual parcel within the unit?
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's not a survey-grade survey. We use handheld mapping equipment, which we use an external antenna. It's GPS, and we bring the stuff back, and we post-process it. So it's usually horizontal accuracy is to about a foot. So it's, you know, a lot of these companies in the past, they may have used the tax map, and this is, one of the benefits of what we do is, a lot of the times the tax map is wrong or, you know, it's just the lines may be shifted. And, I believe, what we do kind of helps solve some of the problems that can occur with a tax map. We recently had an issue where somebody had a right-of-way for a pipeline, and it was on a property where they didn't intend to put it, and it's because they were using the tax map. And I've seen the tax map in just sometimes get a parcel completely wrong. And if you see basically when we resolve our title boundaries, if you overlay that on the tax map, you'd be surprised how far off the tax map is according to the field evidence that you find out in the field.
Yeah, I've had that discussion on a number of shows regarding tax maps, and they have a lot of value, but their value for this particular effort in trying to define where property lines are is not very high in most cases. That came, in some cases, maybe where high-precision data has been used to create the tax maps, but as most of us in surveying know, those maps would been created over a period of time from any number of sources of information, so that certainly makes a lot of sense. And so when you get the deeds together and you go out with the equipment you use, you're just basically looking for property corners that you find in the deeds, I assume. Is that like you would if you were actually doing a boundary survey, but just for a different purpose and to a little bit different accuracy?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same exact process as going out and doing a boundary survey. But, you know, instead of having a point which maybe have a horizontal accuracy of a tenth or two, it's going to have a horizontal accuracy of a foot. But, I mean, you know, so anyone who kind of relies on the tax map, whether it's putting in pipelines or right-of-ways or, you know, oil and gas unit boundaries, you know, what we do is kind of fix all the problems, and we basically, everything we do is backed up by field evidence, and, you know, it's by deed evidence, record evidence, and we actually, you know, instead of just having a best estimate by a tax map, we actually bring it and support it with evidence from the field and record evidence.
And I would imagine from what you were talking about earlier in terms of tracing deeds and finding that descriptions don't occur in many of them, just as if this were an ALTA survey or something, you have those same kind of issues in trying to get to what the actual definition is of the property. So that, I'm sure that adds a degree of difficulty to the whole research side.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what we do is we typically we'll get the title report, and it'll have, you know, it typically they go back to mid-1800s with most of these pieces, and we'll plot them out, what we call a title chain. And, it, you know, basically one owner to the next owner to the next owner. And what we do is when we're kind of working to resolve these boundaries with the field evidence, you can kind of, you know, lay one deed on top of another deed, and, you know, you see this piece was sold out, and you kind of lay the parent tracks and your subject tracks and all the adjoining tracks together. And it gives you kind of a complete picture of how the track evolved over time.
When you were mentioning that, actually Sean mentioned that you get attorneys to do the title work. Do you typically try to just use somebody local or who may know the system in that particular area, or is, I know there are a lot of really large title companies around the country that provide this kind of thing. Do you find one of those to be better to use than the other?
We don't directly contract with the title companies. That's usually done through the energy company. They'll forward us the title once it comes in.
I see. All right. That makes sense. So when you get all the information together then, and you're going to be sending your survey crews out in the field to do their work, I know there's got to be a lot of preparation for that. I'm kind of thinking out loud here to just, you know, doing a typical boundary survey and how important it is to talk to landowners. In cases like this, you're really talking to them about a little different thing than if it's simply just to survey a boundary line between two people. There must be a fair amount of preparation for your field crews when they go out and start interacting with those folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we have the title chain that basically shows how the tract has evolved over time. And we'll start out with the tax map, and basically we have to lay in all the, you know, all the oil and gas tracts. You know, the oil and gas rights may have been sold out 100 years ago, so we may have to find a line that was created 100 years ago but does not exist today. So we'll start out with the tax map, and then we'll lay out the oil and gas tracts, and we may, you know, have some interior lines that we actually draw in ourselves and give it to the field crews on the background file so they can actually trace, you know, the line from 100 years ago and, you know, look for, you know, old fence evidence or whatever may be out there. And, you know, every track we go on, they give permission from the landowners. And the landowners, they're a knowledge of wealth. They, you know, obviously it's their piece of land, and, you know, they're really knowledgeable about where all the corners are, and, you know, that can be a real big help.
Do you ever run into issues where the any of the mineral rights have been conveyed away from the surface owners?
Oh, absolutely. That's typical. You know, it's, you know, a lot of the smaller parcels nowadays, you know, the rights may have been sold out, like I said, 100 years ago. And, you know, a lot of times, they don't have any of the oil and gas rights.
I think that a common occurrence is that once people are savvy to, you know, how valuable their mineral rights actually are, they'll keep them, and especially when the land is later subdivided in a big subdivision plan, like a neighborhood, you'll see that there may be only a couple mineral right owners as opposed to 150 subdivided parcels.
And I've actually seen cases where, you know, there's an old oil and gas tract and then there's a subdivision, you know, a modern subdivision on top of it, and they did transfer the oil and gas rights. So you have to figure out where the old oil and gas tract is and then overlay the subdivision and then figure out where all the new subdivided parcels are. And it's kind of like a cookie-cutter thing where they get so many, you know, the rights are divided up between the new subdivided modern parcels.
Does that cause, I've often wondered about this, when you run into those kind of situations and there has to be some sort of physical presence on the ground to extract whatever the resource is, this may not be something you guys have to deal with, but it would just seem to me that would be issues that somebody has to deal with if you say, okay, we need to extract this particular resource here on what property you own on the surface, but you don't own the rights underneath. That it would seem to me that would create some issues.
Right, and you'll see the energy companies will deal with that once they lease the surface and give out their surface bonuses, but that's not something that we particularly have to deal with as far as the leasing and negotiation process.
Yeah, I understand that. I was thinking more of it from the surveyor person on the ground perspective as you're marking things out. I've had those situations myself sometimes where you're dealing with something that's going on somebody's land or at least something they perceive to be theirs, and I was just curious. But it sounds like those are things that get passed along, and hopefully your survey crews don't have to deal with those things.
Yeah, we're typically one of the first you know, people out in the field, and so a lot of the stuff hasn't been developed yet. But there has been many cases where, you know, the landowners, they don't want you to go on their property, and you know that's fine. You know, if they don't want you on there, you say, all right, have a nice day, and you know, just go down the road.
And somebody else has to deal with that access issue, so that's a good thing.
Well, I mean, every parcel, you know, has an adjoiner, and if you can't get one, you can always try to get the information from, you know, say an adjoining parcel or something like that. But one other thing I forgot to mention about landowners is, you know, sometimes they will have a survey that wasn't recorded, and they'll come out and they'll say, hey, I had my property surveyed, and you won't find it in the courthouse. You won't find it in any kind of records, and we just have the field surveyors take a photo of it, and it's just kind of an additional thing that helps us out and another thing that landowners can do for us.
That makes sense. Well, we are at our second break, so let's go to that, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Schonstedt Instrument Company has been making locating easier since 1953. First, with its yellow stick, the GA52CX, the industry standard for sensitivity. Then, the GA72CD, a shorter and more rugged version offering a magnetic polarity display and a battery and sensitivity indicator. And most recently, the GA92XT, built for portability. It retracts to fit in its holster and extends for one-handed operation and fingertip control. See them all at Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's QUIKSTAKE.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstadt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators. Any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details. Or visit www.schonstadt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
It's the time of the show when our sponsor, Parker Davis, sponsors its question of the week, and the first person to email the answer back to quickstakescontest@americaswebradio.com will be our winner for the day. And the way it works is I ask a question of the guest, and whatever answer they provide is the answer we're looking for. So I'm not going to get all of this terminology correct, but in the beginning of the show we talked about a accumulation of land parcels that is to be utilized in some way by the energy company. And the compilation of all of those you referred to as a particular name. And so the answer we're looking for today is what that's called. So either Charles or Sean, what is the terminology we're looking for there?
That would be well unit.
The well unit. Okay, that's good. So if the first person who responds to quickstakescontest@americaswebradio.com with the answer well unit will be our winner for the day. And thank you both for participating in that. I appreciate it. We've gone through the process of sort of an overview. We talked about the research and the methodologies on how your work is done and how you accumulate the information to lay out the land parcels within the well unit and the title work that you have to deal with. So once you get all of your data together and you've collected everything, what's your processing arrangement?
Typically the field crews will go out and they'll look for, you know, whatever is called for in the deed. Unfortunately, in most parts of West Virginia, they'll call for trees. It might be a white oak or, you know, something where, you know, there's 100 white oaks in that same area. That's typical. But, you know, good deed calls are calls to a road because, you know, roads rarely ever move. Calls to a ridgetop, stuff like that. And when the field crews go out, we'll provide them with a topo map. So with the tax map overlaid on it. So they know that, okay, if I go up this ridge, okay, I'm looking for any kind of boundary evidence on that ridge. And they're looking for, they go out and look for basically anything that has to do with the boundary, whether it be iron pipes, pins, rebars, old fence corners, locations of roads. And they absolutely take field notes, and they also take photos of everything they shoot. So when we get it all back in the office, we have pretty much a wealth of data. We have the tax map. We have all the deeds. We have all the survey shots they've taken, and then we have the photos. And we take the data and we post-process it basically to usually about three different core stations, and that'll give us accuracy of about a foot.
Do you find... And I'm thinking out loud here again, but I'm assuming that a lot of this property is in wooded areas. Do you have difficulties with getting coverage for the units?
Satellite coverage, I assume?
Yeah.
No, typically not. You know, I don't know if it's because it's not survey grade, you know, down to like the 10th or, mm-hmm. But usually, you know, they'll sit there and we'll ask if they can get us about 300 epics. And, you know, sometimes if they're down in, like, a valley, they will have a little bit of problem. And what they'll do is they'll wait longer until the satellite geometry changes a little bit. But, yeah, there is a rare occasion where, you know, the horizontal actually might not be as good as a foot. But typically, even in summer, we have... we get good processing. Data processes very well.
Yeah, and thinking about that in terms of the whole accuracy thing, and you mentioned roads and ridgetops and those kind of things. And clearly, when working in that kind of terrain, and I grew up in the mountains in Virginia, so I can have an appreciation for that. I would agree that those calls that are ridgetops or hollows or creek beds or roads or whatever, although maybe not easily identifiable in a highly accurate way, it is what it is, right? So you can define what it is, and then when you're doing that mapping, I'm assuming as you're gathering data along that ridgetop, I guess I'm trying to grasp the reasoning for dividing each parcel on a map. Is that for defining the value, so to speak, of the resource to that particular owner? Is that really the reason you're doing that?
Laying the tax map over the USGS map kind of gives the surveyors a starting point to say, okay, it looks like the line of this parcel actually runs up this ridge top, or it's sometimes it gets really hilly out there in West Virginia, and with the topo map, it just kind of lets them plan their route, and it also gives us an idea of where to start looking for the property evidence.
Yeah, I was thinking about was the well unit again, and the well unit being a compilation of any number of parcels of ground. And so if I'm going to be the resource company and I'm looking to use that well unit, I guess the question I was getting to was identifying the varying properties within that well unit to some level, as you're doing here. Am I understanding that the purpose for defining each individual one is to determine the value of what payment goes to that landowner from the resource? Is that the reason for mapping the individual parcels within the unit?
It's also from a trespass standpoint. If you're on a border of the unit and you do not need the you want to make sure that the legs aren't trespassing into another parcel who isn't particularly leased. It's also to cover the grounds that way.
Okay, I see. So it's in a very simplistic way, the way my mind works. If this were a timber resource, you don't want to be cutting somebody else's timber, basically. And in your case, it's extracting minerals. But I was just trying to make a correlation of the logic for laying out all those lines.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. It's you can kind of think of it as kind of like a surface parcel, but you're identifying who owns the rights. And, sometimes we deal with bounded descriptions or, deeds that have gaps and misclosures. And, the companies that do the research for the titles, the area may be so bad that until we actually go in and resolve some of these boundaries, they may not know that there's a hole in there. They may not know there's a gap. And until we go and say, okay, we figured out this one, we figured out this one, but you have a gap there. And, it's just you can't tell this stuff from research alone.
So when you're trying to I guess you use the same principles that one would if it were a surface boundary and the boundary principles that we apply for all those kind of things, I would assume.
Yeah, absolutely. It's use the priority calls. You're basically looking for called-for monuments, and you want to retrace those lines that were actually set out by the creating surveyor. And, a lot of times you can't find the original evidence because, they'll call to some kind of tree and pointers. Basically, you can find, old possession evidence. I love to find old fences that they look like they've been there over 50 years. It's the same principles that apply to a typical property boundary survey for surface rights applies to the oil and gas title rights also.
So getting back to the well unit itself, how does a company determine a well unit? Do they just say, look at the map and say, okay, we want to explore this particular area? Or what goes into defining the well unit to begin with?
I think basically that they pick a location that they want to drill, and then they compile the parcels that are in that location, and they're usually typically a 600-acre area, and then they go from there.
Okay, so a well unit does have, in a broad sense, sort of a typical size, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of the leasing clauses will say that they don't want them to be over a certain acreage. So it usually would be 600 or under.
So do they go and do any of their own resources or research, I guess is a better term, by trying to determine what's there in a well unit? Or how do they decide, I want to go here rather than there? Do they do some sort of geotechnical work, or maybe geotechnical isn't the right word, but just some kind of research to figure out what is there that they want to drill for?
To my knowledge, they work closely and have a lot of in-house geologists who I'm sure will make that determination.
Okay. So that's obviously done within each individual company. They have their own resources to do that and then decide, okay, this looks like a good place for us to go.
Correct.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. They were.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The geotechs. They're probably one of the other people besides land guys who are out there before the surveyors. And so, if there's any landowners who don't want us on their property, it's because you know, usually they'll see the geotechs come out, and you know, they'll say, okay, well, from the beginning, they'll say, I don't want anyone on my property. And so basically, you know, we're one of the first ones out there, but we're not the first ones out there.
Yeah, I guess there's a couple of different ways to look at that. I'm thinking from the landowner perspective now. I guess on the one hand, I might think, well, I don't want anybody on my property, but I guess on the other side, I might be thinking, well, maybe I do want them on my property because if they find something good, I can start getting some value out of this resource that's under my land that I probably couldn't make happen on my own.
Yeah, and I think that also that's a problem that somebody who doesn't want to lease their, if all of their neighbors and all the adjoining parcels lease, the company can basically make their well legs go around that particular parcel, and they're going to lose out anyways because of the rule of capture. So any gas that naturally flows from under their land is going to be captured by the adjoiners, and as long as their land isn't trespassed under, they're basically going to lose out on any type of royalty.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Well, here we are, believe it or not, 20 seconds away from our third segment. It seems like I always end up with more questions than I have time to ask as we go through these things. But when we come back, let's talk about how you go through your review processes then and what that final product looks like when you put it out and who might use this resource other than just the oil and gas companies. So let's take our last break. We'll be right back.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com. And thank you.
Quick Stakes. Does your survey supply dealer have Quick Stakes? If not, demand that they start carrying Quick Stakes. Did you know that Quick Stakes are better for your back than your local chiropractor? Lightweight and easier to use than the old heavy wooden stake. Order a sample today and prove it to yourself. Quick Stakes, your back-friendly stake.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Schonstedt Instrument Company has been making locating easier since 1953. First, with its yellow stick, the GA52CX, the industry standard for sensitivity. Then, the GA72CD, a shorter and more rugged version offering a magnetic polarity display and a battery and sensitivity indicator. And most recently, the GA92XT, built for portability. It retracts to fit in its holster and extends for one-handed operation and fingertip control. See them all at Schonstedt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back, everyone, for our final segment today with Charles Lazalier and Sean Spatial. We were talking before we went to break on about extraction and avoiding properties and all that kind of stuff. And so I guess that leads us to the point where now that you've done your basic work and you've gathered data and you're going to be creating something to provide to your client, what's your process for reviewing and compiling all of that, and what is it you actually give them?
It depends on the company. Basically, we can give them CAD polygons with annotations, or we can give them, a map in GIS format. It all depends on what the companies want and what will work best for them. But, the kind of some of the common things, you give them some kind of map of the resolved boundaries. And we also, from the survey side of things, we provide all the data that we collect to the oil and gas companies, whether it be field notes, photos, all the survey shots, the quality of the shots. And we also give them a title abstract report, which I guess Sean could talk more about.
Right. We give them a report that will basically cure the survey specific title defects. It'll summarize what we found, and it'll also include the survey notes and, a picture of the property. It basically summarizes the work we've done to consider that a quote-unquote resolved parcel.
So this sounds like a pretty intensive collection of data that you're actually providing to them.
Absolutely. As far as the surveying side of things goes, basically everything we collect, we organize it in a nice manner, and we hand everything over. Basically, if there's any kind of questions in the future about what we found out in the field or what we did as far as our boundary resolutions, we turn all that data over, and it can all be analyzed at a later date to kind of retrace what we did. And everything we do basically gets reviewed by a senior surveyor, and usually it's Gary Sheffer Sr., and like I said, he's been doing this since 1970. That's longer than I've been alive. And he has a wealth of surveying knowledge, and basically it comes down to the priority of calls in a lot of these situations. And even the data that we turn over, like the survey shots, the survey notes, and all the maps that we turn over, we have, a multiple review process where usually this stuff is reviewed, I would say, at least three times before it goes out the door.
Now, in your notes you sent to me, you mentioned something called a mapping curative report. Is that what we're talking about here, or is that a different thing?
I spoke on that a little earlier.
Okay.
Basically a summary and of the solving the curative actions that the title points out on a particular parcel of land.
Yeah, I mean, basically if there's an issue where, basically it'll give us the title report, and if we come back with something that's completely different, or it may be somewhat correct, they'll note in there that, we may need more tidal research on this area because of this problem that we found.
Or if, for instance, if a deed doesn't close within a certain distance and the title company doesn't feel comfortable putting their stamp of approval, they'll note in the title that this needs further action by a licensed surveyor of this state. So then we'll go in and, you know, solve those issues and then put them in a report and basically tell them what we found, how we solved the issue, and then what they can do moving forward.
So in that particular case, would you then go out and or take the data you have or whatever, gather whatever data you need to actually try to resolve that boundary issue?
That's right. I mean, a lot of times you can use adjoiner parcels, and that'll solve the issue on its own. Other times, like we said before, you may have to do additional research and trace the title back farther to find a more accurate boundary. Maybe find more field evidence that the title company obviously doesn't have access to, which will solve some of the problems. Other times it may be an outsale from the parcel that they are having trouble locating, and we'll be able to locate that by comparing different titles and, you know, using field reports to kind of solve those issues also.
So obviously this is benefit to the oil and gas companies. Is this, and if you're doing the work for them, you're not going to be giving that to somebody else, obviously. But is this type of work something that you found a client base for as another service to offer outside of the oil and gas business?
It's good for, pipelines and right-of-ways and, you know, any kind of company that, they deal with multiple tracks and multiple boundaries. I even think we haven't kind of done this type of work, but if there was some county that wanted to improve their tax map, you know, it would be great for that, too.
Some of the other work that we do with, ArcGIS Technologies, one of the companies in particular, they, you know, had basically all of their assets mapped, and we went backwards and created another layer and then put them all into a more digital form. Outside of AutoCAD, you know, ArcGIS carries a lot more data, which, you know, the companies can, you know, easily access owner information and their acreages, anything that they find relevant to see right in that map.
So when our friend Jack Dangerman over at Esri talks about that software being useful for surveying, you've actually made that happen. Sometimes I hear surveyors saying, "Well, how am I going to do that?" So you've actually found a way to make that happen.
Absolutely. We, for the most part, all the survey work is done in AutoCAD, and then we convert it to using Esri software because it's more user friendly from a data standpoint.
Yeah, and everything that goes into the GIS, I mean, it has to start with survey data. It's just where it all comes from, and then you kind of add all the other information, the other attributes.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a music to the surveyor's ear. All of us have had that opinion from the very beginning that you should be using survey data, but, of course, that doesn't always happen. So what... And I don't want you to give away your business secrets or anything, but I'm just curious about, in terms of percentage of the company's business, has this become a fairly large percentage of what the company does?
Yeah, we do a good deal of title mapping, and it is a big part of the business. Recently, there's been a little bit of slowdown because of the oil and gas prices, and that's why we're trying to get the word out of what we do and what we can do for the oil and gas companies, and. Now, one other thing I'd like to mention is that once we've gone in and done this work, it's a really easy transition to go ahead and survey and create a well plat for the oil and gas companies because basically we've done all the research and we just have to go back in and map the well plat with survey grade equipment. So, you know, it's really good in that respect.
Okay, so, all right, I see you can take this, for lack of a better term, kind of preliminary information that you've done to create the unit, but then if they want an actual boundary survey, so to speak, you already have all this information together. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, typically, once they have the unit defined, they'll start to develop the well pad, and they'll usually need they need grading, they need ENS, they need a good survey grade boundary resolution on the well pad area itself, and basically we already have that started.
So when you get to the pad itself, is that a piece of ground they purchase, or you're creating the plat for them to lease that parcel from somebody, or is it vary?
No, usually it's just leased.
Yeah.
I guess Sean could talk about that more, but, I mean, they need to, you know, actually, they need a well pad road, they need the well pad, you know, they need sometimes retention ponds and erosion and sediment control and stuff that the civil engineering side handles here.
So in a little different sense, it's sort of like a cell tower site or something that they have to have a particular parcel of ground they're using for their purpose.
Right. So they'll, you know, they lease the property, and as long as the wells are producing, it'll be held by production. And then, you know, if for some reason the well stopped producing, they can choose to shut the well in. And then, in a lot of cases, the leases will say that they have to return the property to the way it was before the lease was. The lease was granted.
So it sounds as though this kind of thing, the type of thing you're doing, not revolutionary, obviously, but has some implications for the future, not just for this particular purpose, but as time goes along, maybe as it applies to other things. So, and I don't have any idea what the future of the oil and gas business is in any particular place. I guess that depends on how long the resource lasts, but it sounds like the system you've created is something that you can utilize for other types of projects as you go along.
Yes, we've used it, you know, well pad tracking the statuses for ENS. We've also used it for different reportings, such as the SARA Tier 2 reporting that, 911 facilities. So some of the technologies that we use, you know, in the surveying and the deliverables that we send, we can, you know, it translates well into other projects.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. Well, we're in our last minute, so don't forget when we get further into this minute, I want to thank you both for being with me today. It's been really interesting and enlightening to hear your methodology on how this is going, and sounds like a great business model to be able to provide services in a lot of different ways. So I really appreciate you joining me today and sharing that information with our audience.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Kurt.
And, you know, I'd just like to say one more thing is, you know, even though we have offices here in Pennsylvania and West Virginia and New York, and we work in Ohio, we're open to working in other areas of the country also, and we have the manpower to make that happen.
That's great. Well, again, thank you both for being with me for an enlightening hour, and I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.